3 HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Last segment of the 2 o'clock hour, but happy to catch up with our buddy Chris Lowe. Weekly visit with him. Chris, I know you're trying to stay busy, and I caught something on my ESPN.com timeline a couple of days ago. You and Mark Schlabaugh wrote about Leach and Kiffin and kind of how all that went down, man. That's fascinating stuff.
Well, thank you, Mickey. That's actually something we've been working on for a while, and you had caught up with Mike and Lane months ago, and sort of one of those things that we were going to initially run probably in conjunction with the start of spring practice or spring games for both those schools, of course, with the new normal being what it is. Then we went ahead and ran it last week. But no, it was a lot of fun to do. Both those guys I know pretty well, and to have them both in the same state is just magnificent for those of us in this profession, because and certainly the folks in Mississippi, because they're going to make it, as Archie Manning so perfectly put it, I can promise you this, it ain't going to be boring.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, I'm used to Mullen being down there and just taking shots at Ole Miss all the time and not calling him by name. We're not going to get that with those two, are we?
No, but they'll poke at each other on Twitter. You know, and Leach is such he's such a cerebral guy, so smart, you know, and he doesn't care really what you or me or anybody else thinks. I mean, he'll go after anybody and says goofy things that we think are goofy, but, you know, you can sit in with Mike in one of his meetings, and he may cover 10 subjects, you know, you're watching tape with him, and then he's talking about politics, and he's talking about the King of Sweden, and then there's Lane, who just will poke anybody on Twitter. I mean, he'll go after Saban, he'll go after everybody, but they do like each other. There's a genuine respect for each other, and there's certainly not the venom there that we've seen among fan bases and some coaches, but those two guys like each other, and I think they get each other. That's the main thing, is they get each other. And Lane is—he told me, and I think that we put it in the story. Is he says, the thing I like the most about Mike Leach is he's not like everybody else, which he cares what everybody else thinks. He's going to do his thing, and you know, be darn with everybody else and what they think.
Chris Lowe, our guest from ESPN, ESPN.com, covers college football, college athletics. So the Olympics getting canceled or postponed, as it were, Chris, really seems to have set off a whole lot of discussion in the college football and the pro football world about what might be realistic for actual starting times for them.
Well, and that's we're going to keep getting those questions, Mickey, about all of them. You know, I mean, I heard somebody today talking about the U.S. Open in golf, you know, which is played sometime this summer. Is that realistic? You know, what's realistic, what's not? The reality is we don't know. Now, one thing we rolled out, I think, a couple of days ago on ESPN, where we all reached out to different football coaches across the country to sort of find out how they were navigating this time. Everybody from Nick Saban to Mel Tucker to Jimbo Fisher to David Cutcliffe. And everybody is sort of said the same thing, is, you know, you can only do what you can do. There's no handbook. This is all unknown, you know, where we're going to go from here. But what they all said, the ones I talked to Cut, Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, among others, is, you know, football's not a game that's designed to break away athletes, certainly 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, to break away for 6, 7, 8 months and then drop back in and play. It's just not realistic. So depending on, you know, how long we go, if they get back on campus in June, okay. But, if we're sitting here tonight, they drop back in July, and they haven't had spring practice, no one's had contact for, 7 months, 8 months, and all of a sudden you decide you're going to start playing football again in September, that could be a recipe for disaster. Again, we don't know how long we're going to go. It may be that, you know, this thing starts to flush out. And one of the things that Saban, Nick was telling me, one of the things he's proposed, if it does, of course, I don't think that's anybody's priority right now, but if it does flush out, maybe you get the players back on campus in June and do a version of what they do in the NFL, OTA, where you have 12 days or 14 days, you know, maybe helmets, shoulder pads, shorts, but at least you get them back together, get them assembled together, you know, you put some things in, you install, but I think the hard thing is if if any of us think, and listen, I love college football as much as the next guy, that you're going to just drop these kids back on campus in July, and they've been off for that long, then no organized team gatherings, and you're going to play a month later, that's difficult.
Chris Lowe with us on 3HL. Chris, I've seen every kind of scenario out there, and they have to be, as you were saying, they have to be thinking of just about any kind of possibility. Do you think that there would be, I saw this written a couple of different places today, that like the last possible case scenario would be make the sport basically a spring sport in 2021 and start after January 1. Do you think that they would even entertain something like that, or at that point do you just write it off?
You know, I hate to take a gander at that, Brent. I think that's just so far off. I think they're going to do everything and everything they can within reason and what certainly defer to what the medical people say to try to get the college football season in. Because think about what that does to everybody on a college campus if you can't play college football. Because college football is the engine that drives the train for every other sport, for every university. I mean, the academics, there's just so much money that's generated. And it's certainly not about money, but so much is generated from college football that it impacts an entire university, entire communities, entire towns. Again, everything, I think, ends and begins with what the medical people say is safe and what we can and we can't do. But I don't think anything's off the table to try and salvage playing football at some point, if, again, it's safe. You know, whether we have to push it back, you know, do you shorten the schedule? I don't know. But I think we probably have a lot more answers to that, you know, once we get into May and June and find out, you know, A, whether it's starting to loosen up and whether you get people back on campus. Because, you know, I was talking to Saban the other day. There's only a couple people that are even allowed on a campus in the offices. They can't have one-on-one meetings. David Cutcliffe was saying, you know, he could still go into his office to do, but he can't meet one-on-one with anybody. You know, so we're still a ways off, I think, before having a feel for where we are about games, when they start, and what, you know, contingency plans would be for a season.
Chris Lowe, our guest. I think one of the interesting aspects of this too, Chris, is it, outside of some top-down edict from the NCAA, they're going to be conference commissioners who are really leading the way with their thoughts and actions. And we all know this, Greg Sankey and the SEC, we're in that part of the world, but they're going to be among those thought leaders, and he will, on how all this proceeds going forward.
They will be, and you know, you got a lot of smart people that are part of that fraternity, and what makes sense, what's realistic, what's not realistic. I mean, there's so much out there now. Well, they might do this, they might do that. Well, you know, what sounds good in, or like the possibility in March? I don't know. Maybe that's not a possibility in August or September, October. But there'll be a ton of discussion. And, you know, what I hope is, number one, that they do what's best and what's safe for the student athletes. And I don't think they will, that there's not a rush back into doing anything, you know, because the last thing we want to do is to see that happen. And then there's, you know, there's a glut of injuries, or kids are just not ready to play. I don't think we'll go down that road, but you know, we hear all the time, well-being of student athlete. I do think every decision is made with regard to when they get back on the field or when they get back into that, you know, the competitive arena, whatever that might be, that's going to be the first priority. And I think it will be.
Chris, thanks so much for the time, man. We hope you're social distancing and staying safe and enjoying your time with the family, brother.
I am. It's just good. We had some nice days, Mickey. It's just good to get outside and do some things. That's probably as therapeutic as anything.
Amen. Amen. We'll catch Chris again next week at CLO ESPN to follow him, and check out ESPN.com for that great story about Leach and Kiffin and how all that went down. It is fantastic stuff by he and Mark Schlabaugh. Mike Dettillier said to join us at 3:15. That's for two segments. He is Titans Radio and our favorite draft analyst. So we're just about 15, 16 minutes away from that. Stick around. Big 3 o'clock hour coming up. 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery.
You having a good